Well, we're going to begin a new study tonight. We are coming to the ninth commandment. We have been studying for some time, of course, the eighth commandment. We're only going to have an introduction tonight to the ninth commandment. And it is number 143 in the larger catechism, but it's the same thing that we have in the shorter catechism, and that is number 76 in the shorter catechism. So we can do either of these. They are exactly the same. Okay. Which is the ninth commandment? The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. And as we come to this study tonight, I want to say that the message that I preached this morning about the righteousness of Christ, I stand by that message. I will not go back on what I preached this morning, that salvation is all of grace. But why on Sunday nights then is so much of our study about our duty in regard to God's law? Well, because God says, in Isaiah 63, verse 8, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. That's what Isaiah 63, verse 8 says. Wonderful prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. When a person has come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a desire to obey God. We love what we once hated. And I made it very clear this morning that we are naturally the haters of God and naturally the haters of God's law. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why then, in our once Christian nation, do the citizen polls now show that Americans lie almost every day? And that is in the high 90 percentiles. Way up in the high 90 percent, as they do these surveys of high school students, college students, adults, elderly people, all across America. These various surveys is that in the high 90%, the people are all lying regularly, daily, telling lies. Well, ideas have consequences. Ideas have consequences. And the ideas that came into American life, and especially into American church life, has caused us as a nation to suffer a revolution in a once Bible-based society. We were so happy to hear in the men's class that quotation from George Washington, that men in the ranks of the army were not allowed to use profanity, and there would be lashes given to those who persisted in the use of profanity. We've come a long way. Reformed theologians trace it back to the fountainhead of the great controversy that Gresham Machen and others were embroiled in with the fight against modernism, liberalism, and unbelief in the established churches. Now here are the words of A.W. Pink. He pointed out that when ministers by the thousands adopted evolution and its attendant philosophy for religion. Truth was lost in most of the professing churches. Now, what is he saying? He is saying that not only did thousands of preachers around, you know, the late 19th century and the early 20th century, that thousands of them not only came to believe in the false teaching of evolution, but they came to espouse evolution in the understanding of the Bible and religion. That there was an evolutionary process in the Scriptures, not given by the Holy Spirit, but there was an evolutionary process taking place among the Hebrew people, the early writers, and as the time went on. And so these ideas that came from the great German theologians of the time, known as great, the teachings of Darwin were adopted by those men, not simply to be applied to biology, anthropology, and physical science, but rather the imagined progression from simple to complex was applied to theology and the Bible. This was so inculcated in the seminaries, in the pulpits, and in the classes of the church schools, until people came to believe through that heretical teaching that the Bible was no longer literally true. So that is what has happened to us as a nation, and even as the professing Christian church in the nation, that the Bible is not literally true. So we lost truth across the board in America. Therefore, truth is no longer considered sacred. Truth is sacred because truth does not originate with fallen man. Truth originates with God. Contrary to all the lies of modernism and theological heresy, the Ninth Commandment forcefully declares the sanctity or the sacred nature of truth. And why is truth sacred? That's another term for holy. Sacred or holy. Why is truth sacred or holy? Because truth is an attribute of God. Shorter Catechism number 4. What is God? Let's say it together. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchanging in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Truth is an attribute of each of the persons of the triune God. Psalm 31 in verse 5. He is the Lord God of truth. Titus 1 in verse 2. God cannot lie. John 17, 17, Jesus praying to the Father said, Thy word is truth. Absolute truth. The revolution of lies in the world is really nothing new. Because long before, on this planet, there was truth. Unhindered. The revolution of lies in the world, I say, is nothing new. We once had a biblically based moral consensus in America, but you know there was once a perfect, unfallen world, and there entered into that scene the father of lies, who deceived Eve, and she and Adam chose the lie over the truth of God and over the God of truth. Those dominated by lies today, Those who are controlled by falsehood are the children of the devil. And Jesus said in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, it is very interesting that we have two commandments that especially point to the use of this member, the tongue. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That has to do with how we are to speak to God, how we are to speak about God, how we are to speak for God regarding His holy name, the third commandment. Commandment number 9 teaches us how we are to speak to our fellow humans and how we are to speak about our fellow humans. So you understand there are several topics under this matter of the ninth commandment. There's gossip. There is perjury. And there is that very fine area. We are so thankful for the work of many godly theologians, even in those matters where the people of God in His Word have spoken in order to divert the enemies of God's people away. And yet we are not to use those difficult cases to lower our view of the absolute strict truth. We'll be looking at that at a later time. But let's turn to the book of Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs chapter 6. These are well-known verses. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. You know them well. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. An abomination, that is descriptive of what the Lord said He would spew out of His mouth, because it's a sickening thing to it. What are these six things? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, isn't it interesting? Not only in the Ten Commandments do we have two of these particular commands relating to this member, but you notice here, there's the lying tongue spoken of in general. And then there is that also in verse 19. He that, the false witness that speaketh lies. We have it doubled here as well. And we have to confess that even as James said in his little epistle, not only in that extended discourse on the tongue, but even back in the first chapter of James, as he comes to the close of that first chapter in verse 26 of James 1, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And how many religious people there are today. And no doubt we had quite a number more folks with us this morning. But it's that case in most assemblies as well. But how many people gathered and simply are religious, but they're deceived in their own hearts and their religion is vain. And we have to realize this as believers. We have to contend with this little member. We have to bridle the tongue. That's what we need to do. Now, I want to point out that not only in the third commandment and the ninth commandment is this member being referred to, but also the whole life. You can take God's name in vain by having a profession as a Christian and living like an ungodly man. That's one way of taking God's name in vain, bearing the name of Christ as a Christian and yet living as a child of the devil. And so it is with the matter of bearing false witness. We can bear a false witness as a Christian, as a professing Christian, as a pretender, as a hypocrite, and not being genuine. Well, I want to share with you a very sad account of a young man who made a promise to God. And we really have to be very careful about this, because making a promise to God and not keeping that promise is taking his name in vain. It's also lying. It's bearing false witness. Now, haven't we at times made promises to the Lord? That, Lord, if you'll only do this, then I will do this. And how many times have we failed? But for this young man, it was fatal. D.L. Moody told of a young man in his meetings who sadly exemplified the sin of lying to God. The young man felt that he could not serve Christ where he worked, and therefore he continually put off acknowledging Christ as his personal Savior. Moody pleaded with him, but he would not come to Christ. Late one night, the preacher received a call to go to the young man's home, where according to his physicians, he was dying. Again, Mr. Moody pleaded with him to be saved. The young man still would not come, but he said, "If God will raise me up from this sick bed, I will receive Christ and I will serve him with my life." God did, in his mercy, restore the young man to health, but he still did not come to Christ, though the preacher exhorted him many times to fulfill his vow. Some months later, Mr. Moody received another call. Late in the night, he went to that same home, to the same bedroom, and he bent over the same bed. This time, the death angel was certainly approaching and would not turn back. Again, the evangelist sought to minister the gospel, but to no avail. Then the young man's lips moved, and Moody bent low to catch what he said, hoping to hear a cry for mercy. What he actually heard was a miserable lamentation. For as he went out into eternity, the only thing the young man could say was, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I'm not saved." Lying to God can have dire consequences. He demands that we keep our solemn promises to him, for he certainly keeps his solemn promises to us. We praise him for that. Lying is a very serious matter. And I have to say that as a child, I admit that as a child, lying was a besetting sin of me. And my father was very strict, and I thank God for that. I say my father was so intense and strict. He didn't play. He didn't even go out for recess, but I'm sure he did. But my dad, I remember on one occasion in particular when I was 8 years old, I had done what so many children do in vacation Bible school. My next door neighbor, my best friend, my playmate, my buddy, we were there at vacation Bible school together, and the preacher preached a message on hell. And I mean, it was scary. And at the end of that sermon, both of us went down the aisle together. And we had somebody that dealt with us. I remember a dear, godly lady took me aside, and she tried to get the truth into my mind. But I was just afraid. And, of course, I made that profession. And then they had all the kids that were in the Bible school that made their professions on just a short time after that. There was a baptismal service. And my dad talked to me very seriously about that. Very, very seriously. He talked to me about the reality of following the Lord in baptism, the nature of that. He tried to get through to me. I was just a happy-go-lucky 8-year-old kid. It's kind of like water off a duck's back. And so anyway, I went through that, and my life didn't change. I still tell those lies. Still had never received the love of the truth. If I had received the love of the truth, I wouldn't have been constantly lying. But I mean, you have to lie to get out of a lie and lie another lie to get out of that lie. Well, my mother, so many ladies have had to do after they have had their children. They have to have sometimes a hernia surgery. And so my mother was in the hospital with this surgery. And so I was very much afraid of the dark. And we lived at my grandmother's house because my grandfather had died, and we had rented our farmhouse out, and we were staying there taking care of my grandmother. Well, she was in the front room, and then there was some other bedrooms, and there was this really big old room with high ceilings, and it was scary to a little kid. And I was so glad to sleep in the bed with my father. Because my father was a big man, and I was perfectly at ease, knowing I was going to be well cared for. But little did I know that we were going to have another interrogation session. And so my dad said, "Son, you, I want to talk to you about your lying." Oh, man, I'm thinking I should be in another room or another bed somewhere. And he said, "Son, you know you went forward there in the vacation Bible school, and then you were baptized, and you said to me that you were saved." And he said, "You know, if you were really saved, you're not supposed to be lying." And he said, "You're still lying to me." He said, "I'm catching you in lies regularly." And all I could remember was fear. And my father didn't believe I was saved. So I probably wasn't saved. And I know I wasn't saved now. But I went on like that for 8 more years. And then in vacation Bible school again when I was 16. We had a really dynamic youth leader. And we were going through Pilgrim's Progress. And I mean, it was very convicting. And he gave an illustration, so I made another decision. And I have to say, I was still lying. I was still lying. And after that, I was still lying. So how could I have any confidence in a profession and another profession and another second baptism? How could I have any confidence that I had truly been saved? Because I was still lying. I was still catching myself in lies.
So I had a real problem with that. Even until age 25. And God changed my life. And I have to say, I never loved the truth. The Apostle Paul said, they never received the love of the truth. And when you love the truth, then you don't love lies anymore. You abhor lies. And I catch myself. You know, when you're married to somebody, you know, sometimes, you catch yourself on, man. You say, hey, I'm going to be on the level. We're gonna be truthful. We're not going to do this. Not at all. So it's very important, this matter, this commandment God has given us. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Not only not bear false witness against your neighbor, don't bear false witness at all. And I thank God for His wonderful salvation that gives a new desire, a new love, a love of the truth, a love of the Lord Himself, who is truth.